Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is good to have you with us tonight. And it is Saturday Night Live here. There we go. Get all the clip finished. We're going to have a good time tonight. Thank you for all of you that's been praying for us throughout this week. Isn't that something? So somebody talk for a minute because I got to do some clicking. All right. So let's see. Here's what's got to happen. Isn't that just something?
Do to help you?
The only thing you can do to help is to drive to the YouTube offices and sit down in an office somewhere and explain something to somebody. Yeah. Because obviously our texts and emails don't get through because they still have been acting like, anyways, thank you. It's done. It's fixed. So here we are. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Anyways, as I was saying, we started. Thank you, everyone, for all of your prayers this week. They surely, surely, surely meant the world to Sister Leanne and I. We have can definitely tell every single day when people are praying. You experience. It's not a feeling. You experience the overwhelming support, and most of all, the increased strength.
Amen. Increased strength.
And I think that's probably the greatest factor that you really have to have. And anybody that's gone through grief and mourning, you know what it's like. And you know, if you, this is the first one of our videos you're seeing, I want to encourage you to look up our program. Well, you won't be able to find it that way. But email me. You can find my email right down there in the notes of this program. Email me and ask for the message on grief. Matter of fact, we can put it right in a comment. Let's do that. How to mourn properly? How to go? What was the title of it? Breaking the Bread of My Soul is what he titled it. But
yeah.
Anyways, it's one of the greatest messages on mourning, biblical mourning, I've ever heard. And it's from a person who's in the midst of it. It wasn't, you know, this isn't somebody's theory. This is a man who's right in the middle of it. And I encourage you. I mean, this video should be seen by everybody. It should have 8 billion views on YouTube because it's going to need 8 billion people to watch it. Because if you don't have grief or mourning, it won't be long, and you will. Somebody you know will cross over to the other side. And what I like about it is it teaches what biblical mourning is. Biblical mourning. That was a very, very great illustration. Great illustration. Explain it. I love it because you can explain it real simple. Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. Mary was a prostitute. And naturally, when a man and a woman lay together, they exchange spirits. And she had obviously exchanged spirits with enough men as a prostitute that she had collected 7 demons. Jesus cast the demons out. Mary followed him his whole ministry. She anointed him with a very costly box of ointment, a full year's salary. I heard one Bible scholar say $60,000 in our day's deal. Anyways, so when Jesus raises from the dead, The first person he reveals himself to is Mary Magdalene. You know why? Because she's the only one that showed up at the tomb early in the morning. She was busy taking care of the Lord like she was doing every single day. Mourning wasn't stopping her from doing what she knew needed to be done. So she went to show honor, and, you know, that was their custom, you know. She showed up with some more costly ointment. So a hundredfold return was working in Mary Magdalene's life. When Jesus appeared to her, he said, go tell my disciples, and Peter, by the way, don't forget Peter, that I have risen. Mary shows up and says, he's alive. And what does the Bible say? And they did not believe her. That is not biblical mourning. That is not biblical mourning. When Jesus sends you the answer that you need, you are supposed to believe him and allow the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to minister grace to you. And they didn't receive it. And listen, this is how serious Jesus was about it. When he showed up with them, where they were, it was the first thing he said. He rebuked them because they didn't believe when Mary came to him. Now, you ready? This is mourning. Everybody's going to have it. You lose somebody that's close to you, your heart's going to hurt, I guess. I don't know. I don't think your heart has to hurt. You just are lonesome. Sad, lonesome. Anyways, you call it whatever you will. But when God sends you someone with an answer, you got to be able to say, wait a minute, I got it. When the Holy Spirit shows up with words of wisdom for you right in the middle of it, you've got to reach out and grab a hold of those words and say, I receive it. Thank you for the word. And when you don't, It's so interesting, because you get two extremes on this response. Those who believe and are changed and they mourn properly, and those who don't believe and judge the person who came with the message. It's two opposite ends of the spectrum. And so, anyways, it's in that message. I encourage you to go see it. It's a great message. And you can see it in Jesus when he died, and the apostles, the disciples' response to it. And we encourage you to do it. Last night we had a question and answer session. I had Sister Ann play it because I had to sleep last night. And it was from 2021, I think. And it was cool. We talked. You could hear all the old people's, you know, names and stuff, and everybody was talking. You know, what's amazing about that? I got a lot out of it. You may not have got a lot out of it. I got a lot out of it. Right? But one of the things I got out of it is we were believing for Chris Timmer. He was laying in the bed, paralyzed, couldn't hardly move. And today, Chris is not only not in the hospital, but he's home in his own house with his family. And a wonderful house in a wonderful community where his family is well taken care of. And that is a result of the prayers of this place right here.
Yeah, the house is completely set up to accommodate everything he needs.
It's just an amazing testimony. Yeah. It was right there. And so, you know, thank you. Thank you for being a part. And if it didn't make any sense to you at all last night, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You'll hear me re-preaching parts of it because it ministered to me last night. And then, of course, the prophecy about I'm in the rotunda.
Oh, yeah.
We just got to put that on a calendar and continually read that again and again because it's there. And then George Washington's vision. I mean, this is all part of who we are. And this is called a healing room. We should expect you to be healed when you come here. And we pray for you. We expect you to be healed. God rebuked Brother Hagin and said, yeah, but I said he would. I don't need God doing that to me. All right. And I've become a lot more bold just in the last couple of weeks saying, I'm not going to be bashful about God. Matter of fact, I stopped at a truck stop on the way home when I go to this certain well. And I was coming out the door the other day. And as I come out the door, there was a guy holding the door for me. The guy holding the door was crippled in both of his feet. They were turned sideways. And I have just said inside myself, the bottom line is I'm going to start praying for people. And I saw him on my, hey, thanks for holding the door, brother. Put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed in your feet. Kept right on going. I don't have to stop and have a Pentecostal meeting at the truck stop. I spoke the word. I believe that word that I spoke. And I know that Jesus hears my prayer. And I don't have to shake anybody or scream and holler and yell. Don't have to blow on them or wave my coat at them or anything else. Yeah, I like how Kevin said, I said, you don't have to do all that. And I'm not criticizing those who have done all that. And just so you know, when I cast out a demon, I like to scream and holler and yell at them. But you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. And so I just encourage you, be quick to stop and pray for people and just lay your hand on them and say, in the name of Jesus, just be healed. I say, I don't want that. Well, that's fine. The kingdom has just come to you because I spoke the word of God to you. And that's what this ministry is all about, is speaking the word of God to you so that faith will grow in your heart and you'll learn to use faith like a wrench. I know people like, hey, Pastor, you can't be doing that. Yeah, you can be doing that. And you should be doing that. Faith, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if it's what overcomes the world, you better have a whole big old barn full of it. Right? The world's a messed up place right now. I don't know if you can tell that. But this world is a very serious, messed up place.
Yes, it is.
And so you need faith to do it. So anyway, that's what our whole program is about. It's about faith. And thank you for praying for us this week. God's been good. And I get to be home tonight. My shift's done. I'm going to be off tomorrow. Maybe even another day. Just because God's been good. God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good.
Amen.
Now, any of you that know Roger Oxley, please somebody send an email or text to him so he knows to come and be with us.
Oh, I did.
You did. All right. So tonight, I'm going to do something a little different, but maybe not.
What does that mean?
It means I'm going to do something tonight.
Am I going to be reading? I'll need to go get my Bible.
No. You might want to have your Bible with you just because it's good to have your Bible with you. I know. It's just a, never mind. So I want to help us. Let's see. Pause. Let's pray. And let's start this the right way. All right? You know, I just jumped with both feet. I'm the guy in the 50-foot diving platform who just jumps off, just runs and jumps off. Did you check to see if there was water down there? They wouldn't have put one of these up here without water, would they? Who was it? Dutch Sheets was saying that the other day. Remember on the Wild World of Sports, it was the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat?
Yeah.
Rebecca? And it showed the ski jump guy going down and then skidding and he falls off the edge. Dutch said the other day, he told him, why? Because he was going so fast that had he launched, he would have gone clear off the end and landed way out in the brush somewhere.
Aww.
And he said, I'd have had broken bones. I would have landed beyond what was safe to land.
Yeah.
So he said, I had to take the bumps and bruises and slide off the thing and fall off the ground.
Wow. Isn't that something?
He would have set a record.
Mm-hmm.
But he might have been hanging in a tree. Anyways, how did I get there? Thrill of victory. I was jumping in with both feet. So, all right. So what are we doing? Our opening prayer. But wait a minute. I'm having trouble here. Oh, I don't have all that ready. Never mind. I ain't doing that. Can you get it ready real quick? All right, you get it ready and I'll talk. We have always, since we started this program, made prayer a very key, important part of what we do. And, of course, prayer for the nation, prayer for the troops. And prayer that we will be the nation our founding fathers handed us. Because they gave us the greatest nation that the earth has ever seen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And for all of you that says America's dirty, America's dirty. Lady Liberty and Uncle Sam got a few black sheep pig children, but America's not there. America is as pure and holy and righteous and true blue and patriotic as we have ever been, probably more than we've been in a very, very long time. And I don't know that we've ever had this many Americans all in agreement at one time, except maybe World War II. Thank God we're there. That's a good thing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I got to make you the co-host. All right. Let's go. And so I just like to start with prayer, and then we'll get right into our study for tonight.
Open prayer, like it.
Yeah. If you're able, rise together with me. We will make our pledges. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag
and
to
the
Savior, for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. Now the pledge to the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, our opening prayer.
Father,
we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God,
as
the body of Christ filled with fullness of God, as ministers
of reconciliation,
as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And now, that's good. Thank you. That was awesome. Appreciate your help. Now, what happened? Okay. I have been, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we've been studying here now for a couple years, being one with the Father. And, of course, it's one of our favorite parts of the Christian life. It's not a teaching. It's actually one of the most valuable parts of your Christian life. And so, I continually am asking, Father, help me teach people to be one with you. And so I'm going to give us an outline tonight, a sketch, a thought process. And it helps you to get serious in yourself, with yourself, about yourself. Now, most people would say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty serious about me. And I'm determined. I'm walking with God no matter what. And I'm serious about myself. And I don't question that. I honestly don't question in any sense of the word. But one of the things that happens in our lives is God begins to speak to us, but we don't write it down. And if you don't write it down, you'll never have a judge. You'll never have a measurement. That's a better word than judgment. You'll never have a measurement of, am I reaching this goal? I don't believe a single one of us want to just talk and never act. But that's what ends up happening if we don't write something down and say, that's it. I'm going to see this come to pass. When we moved out here to North Dakota, I said, that's it. I will get this. I mean, when we first moved here, we spoke the word hours and hours and hours a day. And
I still do.
And so doing, we are what we are today because of it. But there had to come a point where I'm like, wait a minute, let's get serious. And what I said to us is, we're getting serious about these verses right here. And when we first moved into this apartment in 2018, 5 years ago, we put Mark 11:12, 12:13, whatever it is, on, or not, Matthew 13:14. Somebody find out where that verse is. 11:12, 12:10. Anyways, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And then, like the next day, Gloria Copeland says, this is what that verse means. And I'm like, whoa.
Thank you, Lord.
So we just got serious about it. And what and who you see us as today, Matthew 11:12. I knew that all along. I was just testing to see if she knew it. I didn't. I cannot lie. I will not lie. But anyway, so this is what I was driving today. Joined the beautiful North Dakota countryside, chasing four-wheelers off the road. Wait, I didn't chase them off the road. That's a bad thing to say. That's one of them dumb things you say in our industry. What are you doing today? Chasing four-wheelers off the road. Hello, you better not make that statement out loud too much or you might get in trouble in this day. They'll follow you and take pictures.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes, they will. Hi, Tracy.
Tracy McSwain. All right, there's six of you watching on YouTube now. Start signing in. We need to see some names. It's good to see you, ma'am. Love you, too. Thank you for all of your prayers. They truly meant a lot to us. Seriously. So, anyways, all right, let's try it again. Tonight's title is Write the Book of Your Life from Your Father's Eyes. I'm supposed to write a book, Pastor? Yeah. You might not call it a book. You might call it a journal. You might not call it a book. You might call it a, it don't matter what you call it. But here's the reality. If you don't get it written down on a piece of paper, as Edith Vandy Walker said to me, Sammy, you don't write it down, you ain't serious about it. And she was serious about it. Let's dive into this tonight. Now, I didn't add all these words into this title because I'm one that's known to having a title about 18 miles long and people get tired and they go to sleep trying to read the title.
Yeah.
So write the book of your life from your father's eyes. And of course, we're going to read some of our favorite, most absolutely favorite verses that we have. All right. And so go with me, first off, to Psalm 139. Wow. I have never searched it up. While we were all turning to Psalm 139, I thought, you know, I'll just search the word book in the Bible. That's an interesting search, isn't it?
It is an interesting search.
Let's just take a guess. How many times do you think it's in the Bible?
Book?
The word book.
900, 1200.
Sister Tracy, do you have a count? Oh, of course, she's going to be a couple minutes. She's behind us there. Well, all right. So we got some believers here. 178 matches.
That's all, really?
That's all, but that's a lot. 178 times God says the word book. We better pay attention. So watch this. Now, I told you all to go to Psalm 139, and I'm going to join you there in just a minute.
Thank you, Tracy, for putting the verses in. For some reason, you two won't let my...
At least Sister Leanne and I get to talk to you.
Yeah.
Now watch this. I'm just going to read a few of these to you. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. Aren't you glad somebody wrote down the genealogy of Adam? In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Right? Exodus 17:14. The Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. So that's what a book's for, is to recount it and get it in your hand. Exodus 24:7. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses said, liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, Moses didn't say that, but wow. Listen to this one. This is interesting. Numbers 5:23. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book. Now listen. And he shall scrape them off into bitter water. Do you remember the story? Numbers 21:14. We'll see if anybody goes and looks it up. Therefore, it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord. Did you realize there was a book of the wars of the Lord? Really good. I always enjoy this. Deuteronomy 17:18. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest. Deuteronomy 28:58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then bad stuff's going to happen and you're not going to like it. Anyways, that's just wonderful.
Wow.
Thirty-four times in the New Testament. Well, that's going to be a good study someday when we go do it, but that's not tonight. Look at Tracy putting in the verses.
I know. Thank you, Tracy.
819. All right, man, you guys are all big thinkers. I like that. Here we go. Psalm 139. I think I'm going to read from verse 1. Down to verse 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. Say with me, God comprehends my path. And I am acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So God knows everything about you and I. 1 through 18, Psalm 139, 1 through 18. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Say it with me. God's hedged me all around. I love it. Thank you, Father. You have, and I give you glory for every time your hedge has protected me, and I know there's been many times I didn't even know it. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? No place. Where can I flee from your presence? No place. If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. I had the northern lights last night.
Were they?
Looked like daylight at about 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. This is David. Can you imagine how many times David laid in the grass with his hands behind his head with the sheep grazing all around him, or laying there sleeping and the big dog wherever it was, and David's looking up at the stars thinking, you're up there. You're out there. I mean, he knew God. David knew God. He knew God so well that God said, forever, one of your descendants will sit on the throne, and then put Jesus into the lineage of David. And he calls Jesus the son of David. David loved God in a way that most of us probably don't know.
Yeah.
13, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Say it with me. There's a book in heaven written about me.
You know, it's interesting to me that being yet unformed, it's all my substance being yet unformed, and how many people have said that a fetus is just a glob of cells, there's nothing to it. And there David is saying, that was me, that's not formed yet.
Yeah. Yep. And anybody, and the sad thing is there's many people who call themselves a believer and say it's just a glob of flesh. You don't believe the Bible. You're calling God a liar. And just in case one of you are listening tonight, it's not really a good idea to call God a liar. So there's a book. All of our days are written in a book. Now let's just, you gotta have some of these page markers here. All right.
Which is anything near you that you can grab.
And if there's anything near you, you can grab. So, you ready? Grab one real quick. Stick it in Psalm 139. All right. So we can, because we're going to come back here. But now I want us to go to I was just listening. Anyways, all of our days are written in a book with our name on it. All right. So the next place I want to go is to Malachi. There we go. Malachi. Chapter 3. Now, this isn't the tithing verses, but that's what most people know Malachi chapter 3 as. Malachi chapter 3, and let's go down to verse, watch this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. That's what you and I are doing right now. We're speaking to one another about God and his ways. So this verse is talking about you and me. Just found yourself in Malachi 3:16. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. What's in that book, Pastor? What you and I are saying. Can you imagine the books in heaven? For those who fear the Lord and meditate, watch this. This is what he says when he gets done writing the book. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day I make them my jewels. Do you remember that you and I are part of the bride of Christ? I'll mess everybody's theology up right at the beginning here. You're not the bride. You're part of the bride. Oh, Jesus, please send the cards and letters to, let's see, Brother Copeland today. No. No, see, we're part of the jewels. Look what we said. I'll make them my jewels. You and I, our righteous acts are what adorns the New Jerusalem as it comes down out of the city. We're a part of it. We're in it. And the book of Revelation calls the New Jerusalem the bride of Christ. But you can't figure that out in your human mind. You have to go ahead and say, well, it's in the Bible, and it's in there twice, and I've got to get my mind wrapped around what it is he's trying to say to me. Anyways, this is a verse that I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve the God and the one who does not serve him. Malachi chapter 4 is, God said, I'm turning the hearts of the father to the children and the children to the father. Book of Malachi. So, at the beginning of your days, when you are conceived in the womb, and God breathed you into your mama's womb, there's a book written. And it's got your name on that book. And everybody's like, well, then, Pastor, what are you wanting me to write a book myself about? Well, the sooner you and I can figure out what's written in that book on this earth and start living like it is in that book up there on this earth, the easier our life gets. You ever see anybody that's just smoking it in their Christian life? Man, everything's just happening, everything, everywhere. Why? Because they got themselves to the place where they understand what's in that book. And God, he doesn't care where you're at right now. There's an exit ramp that gets you right back on the main highway of your life that fast. He loves to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Amen?
Amen.
He is the God of redemption and restoration. So, tonight, the whole focus of this tonight is that you and I would get a book. Hold on just a second. I'm supposed to already have this available. I got one right here somewhere. Get you a book. I got this one from Dr. Barkley, Mark Barkley Ministries. It's got a pen in it. It's got a little notebook in it. Get you a book. You don't like that one? Get you one like this. Got me a little clip that keeps it together. And begin to write. I got this one from Dr. Winston, Partner Books. And maybe you don't like that longhand anymore. And maybe you're like this kind of writer. Well, get you one of these books. All right. But begin to write down who you are. Begin to write down who you are. Now, he'll meet you where you're at and begin to guide you. Because he's the potter and where to put. Now, let's go now to Genesis chapter 1. And here's what I saw today as I was driving. That he's saying to us, don't just write down a bunch of ideas that's running around in your head. That's fine. Write them down. But fill the book with the word of God. Why? The word of God is the discerner, thoughts, and the intents of the heart. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, don't go to Genesis first. Let's do that one. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4.
I love Hebrews.
It's amazing, isn't it? What I love most about Hebrews is you just can't really read it unless you just read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because every chapter begins with therefore. Hebrews 4:16. No. Hebrews 4. 11 and 12. And well, we'll read 16 too when we get done. Right. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent, enter that rest. Well, now what was the rest that he's talking about? The children of Israel were supposed to go in and take the Canaan land at Kadesh Barnea, and they were going to take the land in a rest. They were going to march in. The enemy was going to bow down. They were going to take them out, and they were going to do it in a rest because it was already done in heaven, already provided by God. So he's telling them, enter the rest, but take the land. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Enter the rest, take the land. And it all means the same thing, all part of the same process. And watch. 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder, dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, you have another one of these. Put it in Hebrews because you're going to want to come back there. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 now. Now, I want you to think about this. What am I supposed to be writing in this book, Pastor? You're supposed to be writing down everything you've ever had as a thought about what you should be someday when you grow up. Somebody said, oh, I'm 70 years old. I think I'm already grown up. Probably not. Some of you are 70 and you ain't grown up yet. No, what's the purpose of that? Because as we write down those things we saw as a child, it is a key. It is a discerner. It is a revealer of what God made us to be. Think about this statement. If you don't write down who you are according to God's word, then when faith comes, the enemy sends persecution, and all of your thoughts about who you'll become will be based on that persecution. And now who's guiding you? Persecution. You can't let persecution guide you. That's the wrong father. Persecution is the wrong God. Trial is the wrong God. Sickness is the wrong God. Affliction is the wrong God. Poverty is the wrong God. So you can't let that guide you. You have to let the word of God guide you. Now, here's why this is so important. And I don't know. Let me open this up and just see. Yeah, this is some really good stuff. This is from the Faith Conference 2019. Okay. Faith Conference 2019. That was a powerful Faith Conference. Go back and watch it. It's amazing. That's when the lady preached about jets and toilet paper and God will give you a toothpaste, toilet paper, and a jet.
Wow,
the same God,
powerful.
The same faith. For his powerful message. And what's your name? Brazelton.
Brazelton.
Anyways.
John says that heavy. That's a really good word. For some reason, he can't get on YouTube, but he's getting here, so he's commenting in this messenger.
Is that right?
God bless you, John. We love
you. How is he connected?
He says he can hear. This is the only way he can comment. Also, maybe YouTube has blocked his comments, too, for some reason.
You guys are just radical.
Yeah. So he's commenting through Messenger.
Good job, brother. Love you. Wait, here, let me pull it up, see if I got it. Oh, I just totally lost everything right there. But anyways, so, no, that's all right. Thank you. So what do you write in your little book? Write key important things that you remember from your youth, of thoughts you were having, laying out in the grass, looking at the jet, you know, watching cars go by, whatever your deal is. It's not up to me to tell you what it is. You got to write what was happening in your own life. Then, now watch this. Then write that verse, Hebrews 4, 11, 12, in that book, and then read those things of your past, and then read that verse. And then reread the things of the past and read that verse. Because here's what's going to happen. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Parts of what you saw as a child that really were not you, they were just childhood. I'll be a, you know, what's a young man? He always wants to be a fireman or a policeman or, you know, a soldier. I don't know what girls want to be. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, what are they?
Ballerinas.
Ballerinas. Maybe. And princesses kissed by a frog.
Yeah.
No, wait. She kissed the frog, anyways. But because some of that, as we grow up, is just growing up. You ever notice that? Lou Engle makes a powerful statement about dreams. He said, can you imagine if you'd have had a serious, life-altering, focusing dream as a teenager that rocked your world, the difference it would make in your life in your teenage years. I'm going to tell you right now, I had that. And it changed everything about my teenage years. Because I would have gone the wrong way as a teenager. I just would have.
I can't imagine that.
I was young. I was filled with fire and zeal. And finally got to go to work and have a driver's license. There ain't another reason to be anywhere except going. But God gave me a dream. It wasn't even a dream. It was an open vision in one day. And my friend Jeff Tomlin and I were sitting in the dormitory, each other on a bunk, just talking about riding motorcycles and going to the woods of Canada. Riding motorcycles, right? And I even got a subscription to Motorcycle World or Cycle World magazine or something and had it sent to the school. And it was a very interesting deal. But while we're talking that day, I said, and just think, we could minister to the natives in Canada and be a blessing to them. And lightning went through the room. And we looked at each other and said, what was that? And he's like, I don't know. I said, I don't know either, but it was God. I'm going upstairs to the prayer room. And I immediately went and began to seek God. What did you just say to me? And that's when I got my call to preach. And that call focused me for my whole life. So, here's why I'm saying what I'm saying to you. Get you a book that matches you. You might like a big one. You might like a little one. You might like a spiral notebook. You might like a three-ring binder. Have I got one of those over here? I know I do. Right here. You might like a three-ring binder like this. So you can write in. You know, keep it like that. It doesn't matter. Begin to write who you are. Let's look at another verse. Did we ever read the Genesis verse? Did we ever read the Genesis verse? I don't think we did. Genesis chapter 1. I just please follow me. And Sister Tracy's doing a great job of getting these verses in there. Write them down. Somebody make a verse list so we can put them all together in one when we get to the end. Now, I want you to see this. This is the first day God made anybody. This is the first day he made anybody. He made Adam. All right? Genesis 1. God said, who was he talking to? He's talking to himself,
yeah.
The Trinity. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Think about what God did. Everything God did has seed. Man has seed, animals have seed, birds, fish, creatures, creepy crawlies.
Apple.
Yeah, the fruit of the trees, the herbs of the field, the grass. Everything has a seed. An egg, what is it? It is a chicken seed. Go ahead, Phil.
It's a chicken seed.
Okay, you do realize that the first thing God created was, he said, light be.
Yeah.
That was Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He created Jesus there, right there, before he even created the sun, moon, and stars or anything like that. But he said, light be. He didn't say, stars start shining or sun or anything like that. Light be. That meant Jesus. That's, Jesus is the reason why he created the whole everything. You do realize that, don't
Amen.
You?
Amen. And
I mean, I've never preached to you about this, but I just thought you knew that.
Well, no, and not only that, Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Just wanted to butt in.
Now, think about. So, he's God, when you look in verse 26, our are all capitalized. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, let's go to chapter 2. And let's go to verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And God had already planted a garden in Eden, and he had made a perfect world for Adam to be in. Everything in that world had seed. Everything in that world was going to have the ability to reproduce itself. In this world, has the ability to reproduce itself. And it's all based in seed. Even man had has seed, when you think about God and how massive God is, I forget who the guy was singing, Bill Pierce or whatever the guy's name was, but he has a commanding bass voice. How big is God? How great and wide his vast domain. God is massive. And God said to Adam and to Eve, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. And when you think about it, you and I were in Adam and Eve's womb and loins. We were there. 8 billion people of us were in his loins. Now, how small have you got to divide the egg and the sperm when it comes together to put all 8 billion of us inside of it? See, if anyone will stop and think from the point of view of intelligence, not a stupid monkey, you will be amazed by the unfathomable ability. I said that's a big word to say, unfathomable ability. You kind of put it all together, and I'm missing it. To understand, God is intricate with his detail.
Oh my God!
This grass out here came from when God said, "Let there be grass." That grass right there has this. It's a descendant of 7,000 years. See, if we will ever write it down, break it out, and cause ourselves to truly pay attention to it, it'll revolutionize with revelation our life, and we will go everywhere and help everyone we meet come to know who God is and how much he wants to bless your life. God had already built for man an amazing garden. Had already built it. He already had it all, created it. And then he put Adam and Eve in it. He said, there it is. It's all yours. And then Adam and Eve came together, and Cain and Abel and all the other children. Many scholars believe that Adam and Eve, as soon as Eve was there, began immediately to replenish the earth. And Cain and Abel were obviously not only children. And of course, the Bible doesn't say how old Adam and Eve was. It just says that, you know, Cain and Abel went out, and Cain didn't like Abel. And yet Cain went out that day and found another woman. Well, there ain't nobody else on the earth except Adam and Eve. And so they'd had many, many children. They were in a perfect body. And so you and I don't understand the level of perfection that they were in the day we live, because we have a life that's marred by sin. So what is the purpose of this passage? Write down your genealogy. I was born, I'm German, I'm English, I'm whatever. All right? Write it down. You were born of Adam, and yet as a child of Adam, you were given dominion on this earth, and you were given the command, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. Write it in the book about yourself. What are you supposed to say? I am supposed to be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. I don't know if I wrote it right here, but anyways, that's your assignment. That's the assignment of every human on the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. Say it. That's my assignment.
That's my assignment.
See, everybody wants to point the pastor and say, well, that's your assignment. No. That's all of our assignment, because one pastor can't get it all done. But if all of us, can you imagine if every human on the face of this earth right now was functioning in be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion? There would be no ability to stop the work of God's children, because we would have total dominion on this earth and zero domination of another human. And why is there any trouble on the earth at all today, except that there's man wanting to take dominion or dominate another man? That's where all the trouble comes in. That's why here in America we have anti-monopoly laws, not because they don't like the game, because they don't want one man owning the whole thing and then having this ability to totally crush everybody else in the market. Now, it's happening, but it's not supposed to happen. And we believe in the America where it's not supposed to happen.
Amen.
Now, let's grab another set of verses. So in this book, what are you writing? You're going to write Psalm 139, those verses about, there's a book written about you. And then you're going to write Malachi chapter 4, verse 16 in there, and it says there's a book being written about you and I, because we get together and talk about God right here. And then you're going to write the beginning of the book, which is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and then Genesis chapter 2. Why are we doing this, Pastor? Because the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if you and I will open our mouth and speak the word over any situation that we're going into, the word of God will help us discern the right way to go. How many times have you ever said, man, if I just had a great prophet who could tell me what's the right choice to make? You don't need a great prophet. You got this book, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's throw another verse in there. Let's go to 2 Peter, 2 Pete, 2 Peter.
Glad you're with us, Rebecca.
And welcome, Rebecca. Love you. Love you, love you, love you. 2 Peter 1. Um, 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, but prophecy came by the will of man. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak or write the word. And it says it's a more sure word. It says it is a prophetic word confirmed. This word is. So when you get in these situations, and I'm in a couple myself right now, where it's like, dang, that, and that. What? Well, keep speaking those things out loud. But then open this book up and start speaking this word, because when you speak this word and then you go back and say those things in, the word will help you discern which of those things to get rid of. Just like whatever you write in your book about yourself, the word of God that you write in the middle of yourself, right in your book, and you speak it out loud, it'll begin to help you discern what you were supposed to do all of your life, and then it'll help you say, well, then God, restore this.
Yeah.
And Sister Leanne and I say it all the time here. I don't know if we say it here as much. Do we say it publicly? Well, we always say, I declare the years of our life are restored to the moment of my conception.
Yeah.
What? My mom and dad were in a horrible car accident when I was in the womb. Like, so horrible that it blew the engine right outside the car. What was it? Enemies trying to take out this young family. Trying to take me out. Why? Somebody must have spoke something about me. So now, when you've got it in here and you read it regularly, break it up in 7-day increments. Just break it up and read a little bit every day. All of a sudden, you're going to get a picture of who God wants you to be right now today. Not what he wanted you to be then. Then has to be restored to today. Now, let's get you, the person who is a child of Adam, born again. Ready? So that's going to take us to John 3:3. John 3:3, somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus and says, hey, we can tell you're from God. And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't even get to see the kingdom unless you're born again. You must be born again. Well, then Jesus went on to tell him what being born again was all about. And verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's anybody on the face of the earth, believes on him will not perish, but have eternal life. So write in your book, John 3:3 and John 3:16, and then go to this page. Add all the other verses off the page that you want. You're not going to get me to write your book because I can't write your book. Only you can. And listen, when we get to heaven, you want to be able to say, God, I was endeavoring to have you take my book in heaven and download it into my book on earth so I can begin to see what you made me already at the point of my birth in heaven. Are you really serious that God's not going to help you know what he wrote in that book? There's a whole bunch of people say, well, God, wait, let me say, God will never show you what's in that book. Him only, and only him to know. Bull. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow. You want that verse? That is John chapter, what is that? You know that verse right off the top of your head, though? John chapter 10. It's John chapter 10. And it's verses 1 through 18. John 10. 1 through 18 is where Jesus is speaking about the sheep and the shepherd. Write it in the book. Now wait, why am I writing all these verses, Pastor? Because the word is a discerner, thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now wait, you're going to be reading, my sheep hear my voice and follow me, and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. And God's going to say, don't buy the Chrysler, buy the Ford. What? Because the word that you are using becomes a discerner of your thoughts and the intentions of your heart.
That's like,
before I went to Michigan, I was looking at another vehicle, and I was, you know, I'm thinking about my father-in-law, Lee, and I wanted to be comfortable, and we're going to make trips back and forth to Michigan, and I, you know, the whole thing. So I go look at this van, but I'm praying, you know, it's $54,000 for this van, but it's a nice van. It'll seat 15 people. You can stand up in it. It's got big air conditioner on the roof. It's a diesel engine. Glory be to God.
It's scary looking, really.
Anyways, so I'm looking at it, and the lady puts the hood up so I can see the hood, and you got this real flimsy hood holder, and I'm like, man, that's sad. And it's a Mercedes, and I'm like, that's a dumb hood holder for a Mercedes. But anyways, I'm at first I stay back because I know that hood's coming down, you know. Then I'm like, now I'm looking inside the hood, and I got my hands in there, and that rod gives way, and bam. And it got me right there. It almost healed. And it got me over here somewhere. Right here. Bam! That thing came down on my hands. And the lady said, well, I imagine that probably helps you understand whether or not to buy this vehicle, huh? I said, yeah, I don't think I'll buy this vehicle. I'm bleeding like a stuck pig. Had to drive all the way home and have Sister Leanne fix me up.
Serious.
You see, the word is a discerner. You can literally read the verse of scripture. The word is a discerner of my thoughts and intents of my heart. And guess what? It will just reveal your heart to you just by reading the word. Why do you think God told Joshua and Moses over and over, get the children of Israel together and read the word to them? What would it automatically begin to do to them? It would be a discerner of their thoughts and intents, and they would immediately begin to repent of their sin. Was it Ezra that found the word? No, it wasn't Ezra. It was Zephaniah, Zechariah. Anyways, whoever it is. The word of God was found in the temple, and they hadn't heard it for many years. And so, men, all the people came together like, whoa. Let's read. Well, it was under Josiah's reign. And Josiah's like, everybody get together. We're going to read the word. And they began to read the word. And the people began to mourn and cry because their lives were such a horrible mess. Why? The word became a discerner. And that's when God said to the priest, no, tell them, don't mourn. This is a day of rejoicing. You are hearing the word for the first time. Don't mourn. Eat the fat. Send some to those that don't have some. Why? Because the word was working in their life. The word was working. Now, let's go to another verse. You must be born again. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can't write something in a book without going there. Any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So, you were German, English, French, you know, Native American, French Canadian,
Irish.
But see, all of that bloodline stops at the cross. Because now you become heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. You are literally adopted into the family. And you become a child of Almighty God. It says, for everyone who's led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. And we begin to say, Father, God, what is it? You have become a child of God. Now your whole nature, everything about you changed at the cross when you accepted it. All the German, French, Irish, all the tendencies of those nationalities are no longer there. They have no effect on you another day of your life. Well,
amen.
Pastor, if you only knew how much my Irish temper was getting me trouble. It's only giving you trouble because you still believe it's all right for you to sin with your temper. We don't have nothing to do with Ireland. It has everything to do with you. Ireland may not be sinning right now, but you are because you got a bad attitude. Right? Your German bullheadedness. No, you're just being obstinate. You don't have to be that because your dad was born a German.
Right.
You know, as soon as you're born again, all that goes away. But why am I having, why is God, that's not me. I got all this planned this afternoon while I'm driving down the road. Why is he having us put this in a book? Because we'll read it. And then we'll read these verses that says, you're a new creation. And all of a sudden, we'll realize, well, that's what I was. Thank God for my mom and my dad. They gave me access into this earth. But God has made me a new creation. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's get you a verse on that. Wow, I have so many in my mind. Where are we going? In my spirit. Where are we going, Jesus? Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians. I don't know why I say it that way, but somebody said it that way. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh. This isn't talking about heaven. It's talking about right here, you and I on this earth. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It isn't even your faith that you have to live by. It ain't your righteousness. It ain't your holiness. Pastor, are you telling me that this doesn't have to do with me? I just got to accept it? Yep. The sooner you can let go of the fact that it has to be about something you've done, the sooner you can just go ahead and receive the free gift. Yeah, but I have to do something. Yeah, receive. What did Adam do? God put him in the garden. No, God, I can't take the garden. No, he didn't do that. He just received it. And God said, here it is, Adam. And he's like, wow, what do I do with it? Well, you see this? This is a fruit. It's an apple. You eat this. Want to try one? Yeah. Ooh, that's really good. Right? What's this? That's a tomato. What do you do with that? I eat it. Ooh, you made some good stuff. Right? See, when we come back to this book and we begin to write God's thoughts about us in a book, all of a sudden, we become closer and closer to God than we've ever become before. And it's no longer God is this being way out in the sky somewhere with a club. He's getting ready to beat you down if you do something wrong. You realize, wait a minute, he's in here. I remember hearing Brother Jesse the Planet say, people ask me how many hours a day I pray. And they say, you must pray for hours a day. And he said, I'm like, no, I actually don't pray very much. He said, I just talk to God all day long. I'm just in communion, continual communication with my Father.
Yeah.
And you know what? He wants it for every one of us. Brother Jesse don't have a corner. Okay? He's not the only one that gets that. Watch this. Let's go to John. Let's go to the book of John. John John chapter 4. And see, none of these verses are new to us. These verses are new. We've studied these verses now for 3 years. But all of a sudden, we're getting a different picture. How to put them together, use them like a wrench to bring your life together. Activate the word of God by your spoken word. You got to activate this word by your tongue. You got to speak it. That's how it comes to life. Let's read John 4, and let's read 23 and 24. But the hour is coming. I like that. But I like the next statement better.
And now
is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking worshipers, not the worship. The Father is seeking you as a worshiper, not your worship. Will you worship him? Yes.
Yes.
Get the revelation. But some people don't have the revelation and they never worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him, who live a life of worship with him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. I was driving along today when he was giving this to me, and I'm like, all right, so Father, how does this work? Do I talk in English to you, or do I just talk in tongues? He goes, well, why would you talk to me in a language you don't know when I understand English and I just want to talk to you? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, do you feel like praying in tongues is some kind of superpower that you have that forces me to do something I don't want to do? You know?
It is a superpower, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but, you know, when God kind of shows you something that you need to learn, just go ahead and learn.
Yeah.
Because many people, that's what many people believe tongues is actually for. I have the ability to use another language, heaven, so I can force God to do what he's not been doing for me. No. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Don't stop. Keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. So praying in the Holy Spirit builds up your spirit, man, causes you to see Jesus, and helps you walk in mercy and in love. That is a supernatural powerhouse right there. But you ready for this? It doesn't do you any good to go before the Father and pray in tongues when he wants to just talk with you. Now, Father, no, don't talk right now. And pretty soon, it feels like, you know, the words have come down and they're making like juice down your chin and on your shirt. You're like, what's wrong with these words? And he's like, I don't need you to say those words. Just talk to me. See, I can tell that somebody tonight is saying, Pastor, what are you trying to get us to do? I am not trying to get you to do nothing. I'm showing you exactly how to be one with the Father. And you're going to, sooner or later, you're going to have to start writing some things down. Even if you have bad penmanship. Even if you don't know how to take a note. Start. Because as soon as you start, it'll begin to flow. And then, it won't be long you'll have a journal of your life that you'll be able to go back and say, well, what did I just do? I received this at 2019 Faith Conference as a partnership gift, 2019 International Faith Conference. Isn't that something? And this is what I wrote now. As we drove to the International Faith Conference, I asked, what was the verses of Scripture, the Word of God we were standing on? Ephesians 4:1. Wow. Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians 4:11. Prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. I'm reading what I wrote in 2019. The disciples talk about who Jesus was and what he did. Paul spoke of his anointing, inside of him, working through it. He himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then I wrote, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the I wrote it right in there. It's all right in there. See, that's the value of doing this, because then you can look back and say, wait a minute. What was you saying to me, God? And then you can look on that page and you can go back and begin to see it. Now, think about this verse that we just read. The Father is seeking worshipers. All right, but really, he's seeking you. But he's seeking worshipers, the mass, all of us, but really, he's seeking you. Say this with me. The Father is seeking. He is seeking you. I'm glad you finally got it. See, there's a lot of believers who never get it that you actually have to take these verses off of this page and begin to make them work. You got to get them to work. Well, Pastor, I can't make the Word of God come to pass. No, you can't, but you can speak it off of your lips. Jesus is the living word. So when you speak in it, you're speaking Jesus' life to come to pass. And then the word begins to make a marvelous effect in your life. And the next thing you know, your life begins to be filled with power. Let's add this verse. I've said it over and over. You know it. But it's all right. Let's just add it. Proverbs. Watch this. Proverbs, I'll get there. Chapter 4. Proverbs 4. And 18 through 27. The path of the just is as a shining light. Proverbs 4, 18 through 27. And that light gets brighter and brighter to the most perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble, and they stumble really bad. My son, give attention to my words, this word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That means meditate on them. Read it. Meditate on it. For they are life. These words are life to those who find the word, and health to all your flesh. As you begin to speak the word, it literally becomes health to your flesh. How amazing is that? There are people that have been healed from fourth-stage cancer over and over and over. Again, just by reading the Word of God. Now, let's go to another verse. 1 Timothy. See if I can grab this time. First Timothy 1:18-20. Watch this. This charge I commit to you, my son Timothy. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Conscience is what tells you right and wrong. Which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There you go. Sister Tracy just said, wow, Pastor, this is amazing. I spent the whole day going through old journals and church notes. There's so much power in it. And there's so much revelation in it. And all we do is write it and then stick it on the shelf behind us. We don't get no value. And God wants you and I to absolutely turn our world and our lives upside down. But he can't do it if you and I don't see where he's trying to get us to. And that's the value of writing it down. It really is the value of writing it down. You know, we really can communicate through the Spirit. Well, you know, I think what's going on is you speak to Holy Spirit, I speak to Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is leading all of us in the same direction. Brother Richard and I were talking last night, texting back and forth in the middle of the night. And he's like, man, Pastor, this has been a tough week to really get something from God. And I'm going to tell you, I had a difficult week on a couple different days. But I just said, well, the bottom line is that's just the level of warfare where we're at. And so there you go. But look at these verses. Thank you for sharing that, Tracy. That's awesome. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. 1 Timothy 1:18. What is Paul saying to Timothy? Anytime somebody spoke a word of prophecy, gave you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, you need to make sure you keep it an accurate record of it, write it out, store it somewhere, put it on a piece of paper, write it out, get the audio of it. If you're in a church service and they give you the video of it, get a video of it. And listen to it regularly. Now, Sister Leanne will tell you, on a regular basis, she's going to hear me saying prophecies that have been spoken over my life by different men of God. Why? Paul said we've got a war, a good warfare. What does that mean? That means in order for you to become who you're supposed to be on this earth, you're going to have to fight. Look at what he said. War according to the prophecy previous made concerning you, that by these you may wage the good warfare. What is the fight that we're fighting? The good fight for your faith. Why? Because the enemy's going to be shooting them fiery darts at you. He's got to stop you from getting faith inside of your life, because if you get faith in your life, you're going to crush his kingdom. And he doesn't want you crushing his kingdom. That's what this book is. This book is a life warrior crushing book. Crushing devil head. Want to say it with me? I am a life warrior.
You am a life warrior.
So you read those things out over and over. You might say, Pastor, I've had a lot of people prophesy, but I never thought about getting a video or a cassette, whatever. One of the most important times anybody ever prophesied was Dr. Barkley prophesied over me. Fred Golker's church in Holland, somewhere right by Holland, Michigan. I had a copy of it, lost track of it. Called the church and said, can I get a copy? They said, sir, our whole church burnt to the ground, and we lost all of our original. Mike,
no.
They're like, yeah, that's what we said for days. But they rebuilt their church, and they're back at it. But that was an interesting night. Dr. Barkley called me up to prophesy over me. When he did, he had another pastor come lay hands on me, the pastor Fred Golker of the church where we were at, come and lay hands on me for the pastor anointing. And when he did, boom, I went out in the spirit, and I'm laying there, and pastor walked over to the pastor, laid hands on me, pastor laid hands on him, and the guy fell right on top of me. Boom. When you listen to the tape, you can hear me. I went, ooh, you can tell right when he hit. A couple seconds later, Dr. Barkley says, roll him off. And obviously the ushers were just looking at him. He said, roll him off. And they're like, what? He said, roll him off of the top of him. They rolled the guy off on the floor next to me. No, see, you got a war of warfare. Wait, you know what else you got a war of warfare on? The bad words that's been spoken over your life.
Yes, yes. Condemn those words.
You've got to condemn them. Yeah. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Pastor, how long is this going to take me to do this? Who knows? If you hurry up, you can have it done by midnight. No, you're going to do this for the rest of your life. Well, I don't want to have to do that. Are you really a thumbsucker or what? Do you want to get to heaven? He said, be careful not to let these things slip. Well, unless you write it down, you're going to let them slip. When you write something in there, put a date on it and the time and where you're at. You're trying to make me write a book faster? I ain't trying to make you do nothing except get to heaven and enjoy the trip. Just a good night. I think it's a good night. It's a good night, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 12. Is that what I said?
I know you didn't. I don't think that.
Amen. Amen, Tracy. Got to have the word. You can't fight in your human flesh. You can take a knife out and stab at the devil all you want. You ain't never going to touch him. He's a spirit. The only thing that controls that other spirit is your tongue. So you have to open your mouth so Jesus can become the high priest of your profession. We'll go there next. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Put yourself on the altar. And then like Brother Terry says, and stay. Don't get up and be like the one guy. I did it my way. It is your only reasonable service. Do not be conformed. See YouTube constantly pray of your children. Oh, I get it.
So you constantly pray for your children. Yeah.
I get it. Isn't it frustrating when they go ahead and put words in for you?
Yeah.
Anyways, that you may be able to prove what is the good and perfect will of God. How? By renewing your mind. You've got to speak the word. So let's go there. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. I must be getting tired because I'm not coming up with that verse. It's got to be Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter Romans. It's Romans. No, it's Hebrews.
Hebrews 3:1.
It said we have to fight and pray for our children who are the seasoned as we are. Who are the seasoned? Is that salt and pepper? What we got?
Salt,
we got the salt. That's too funny. Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. Jesus is the high priest of what you and I are saying. What's that mean? He takes the words that we have been given by the Father to say, and he takes them to the holy place and he presents them. He's the high priest of our profession so that our words can get accomplished what he wants them to get accomplished on this earth. Yes, I thoroughly expect you to say regularly, wow, I need to just not talk right now. Because I seem to be saying a bunch of stuff that really isn't what I should be doing. But I don't be freaked. You might be quiet, but don't be freaked. Father's not freaked that you're getting it. Right?
Right.
He's glad you're getting it. So get it. Just get it. I have so many places I can go right now. I'm just kind of Philemon. It's only one chapter. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Philemon, one chapter. 4, 5, 6, and 7. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, hearing of your love and faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward his saints, that's you guys, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what's going to help you share your faith. Whoa. You might be like me. And please pray for Sister Leanne because she has to put up with me. At least she didn't say amen. Because I have a lot of books I've written in. And there's coming a day when I will put them all together in one.
Holy Spirit.
Is this during eternity or is this now? All right. Now see, the joyful sharing of who you are is because of what the good things that God has done on the inside of you. You see, you gotta get this stuff written down and then speak it so much that it automatically comes off your lips. Because here's what happens. The less of the word you speak out loud, the more of what you used to sin when the devil would shoot the fiery darts and you would give into it, the more that stuff will come back at you. So speak the word, and it keeps the enemy out at that level. And the more the word you speak, the farther out it keeps the enemy. And the more the word you speak, the farther out it keeps the enemy. Why? God's word does not return to him void. It accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. That's a good word. Now, I knew I had one more. 1 Peter. No. It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll be done. I said we have to fight and pray for our children who are this are the something as we are, and that is not as season. Yeah, we do know what you mean. Amen. Now, this is my last set of verses. You ready? 1 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, grace and peace are not going to be multiplied if you don't have the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you've got to get some revelation knowledge. As his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, that by these great and precious promises, you may become a partaker of the divine nature of God. Well, John chapter 17 says we get to be one with him, but you don't get to be one with the Father if you're a dirty dog sinner. So what do you have to do? You have to renew this mind, your understanding, from anybody that's ever told you, it's all right if you sin. God doesn't care if you sin. You can even sin every day in word, thought, and deed, and it's no big deal. That is not the word of God. But wait.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in your body while you're doing things like that.
The reality is, if you have received righteousness, you're not even going to be thinking about doing those sins.
Amen.
And you, every time it comes at you, you will no longer say, oh no, here it comes. You'll say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That ain't who I am. That's what you were trying to force me to become by your fiery darts you're attacking me with. I will never be that because that wasn't who I was in the first place. That's who you were trying to, by falsehood, by deception and trickery, you were trying to force me to believe that that's what I was. That's not who I was. You're a liar. That's the father of lies. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been made a new creation. Old things that he was trying to make you passed away, and now all things have become new. And when you think about all things becoming new, what you and I actually get to see is we actually get to see God manifesting inside of us as a new creation. And then literally the revelation flows all day. You don't have to work to be a Christian. Once you get the revelation of this, you'll be like, I'm not going to sin. That ain't who I am. I've been made the righteousness by Jesus. I'm not that person. I don't care what the enemy brings. I'm not that person. That's like Brother Jesse said one time. He walked down out of one of the big fancy hotels where he was having a meeting. Walked out on the street, and there was a prostitute there. And she said, "Hi, sir, wouldn't you love to have some companion like me with you?" And he said, I thought, well, look at there. You're going to be that bold right in front of my face, in front of me right here in the sidewalk? He said, I'm a dead man. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Have you tried to get any help? He said, I don't want no help. She goes, oh, my God, a Pentecostal preacher. That wasn't Horror Babylon, but anyway. But what was it? He was going to shame the devil as much as the devil was going to shame him. Why? That ain't who I am. That is not me. That's not who I am. Is that who you are? I ain't nothing. Think about this. Say it. I ain't nothing.
I ain't nothing.
Of what the enemy ever tried to force me into.
Amen. What the enemy ever tried to force
me. I ain't none of it. And if you don't like my ain'tin', well, please forgive me. I come from a little town where we said ain't. But I'm not going to be bound by that town. So, isn't. Isn't. Hallelujah. Well, I think that's enough for tonight. Play and replay. And play and replay this message. Because it's going to say more to you every time you do. But listen, all Holy Spirit is helping me do right now is get you off the pot and get you going. Grandma used to say, I ain't going to say that. Grandma, in other words, just get going. I'm going to have to get that out of my mind so that doesn't just pop out like that. Grandma was a wonderful woman of God who prayed for the young and the restless every single day.
That is still just the funniest thing to me.
But wait, here's the reality. That it wasn't registering to her that this was just a sitcom situation.
Soap opera.
But it wasn't registering. But guess what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
My grandma prayed for all them people. Now, she didn't know them by their real name, J.R. and all them guys from Dallas. You know, she didn't know them by their real name, but she prayed for them people. Can you imagine that?
And their own personal lives were probably still transformed this way because of her prayers.
Yep. It would be very interesting to go back and study and see how many of them people during that period of time actually made it to become a Christian. And Grammy didn't know. She was just praying for him. Lord, don't help me. Don't murder somebody. My goodness. Don't get divorced. What are you guys doing?
Help them.
But one thing about it, every day at noon, man, she had her prayer time. She was going to war. Hallelujah. Now, think about this. The last verse I gave you, 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4, literally says that as you and I speak this word, that it actually causes us to become one with God and a partaker of the divine nature. You're not the divine nature. You're a partaker of that divine nature, of God our Father. The reality is, guys, all of a sudden this changes your whole point of view. You're not gonna spend half your day going, oh God, why don't you? He's right here with you and you're communicating just normal, and all of a sudden he becomes this real Father. And you probably spend the first month saying, I ain't never doing that again. I ain't never doing that again. Why would I ever do that? I've had some things that I believe, I don't know, most of my life. And it's like, wow. How did I even come up with that understanding? I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't know. But thank God, thank you, Father, that you love us so much, that you let us be one with you. And man, what an amazing place to come up to, and that's being one with him. Get your book out. If you don't have one, get one. Go to Walmart. Find something that'll work for you. Make it small enough that you'll carry it, and yet big enough that you can put something in it. And every time you write in it, the date in.
You use your phone, it does all that.
Or use your phone. Just remember, if it's in the notepad and an iPhone, that every time you make a new edition, it's going to take out the first date and put in the next date. So when you title your first item in that note, on that day, put the date in. I type it right in, just like when I start the program tonight. It says EYF 2 September 2022. And then the title, just like you see it, is there in my notes. In Jesus' name. Father? All right. You ready to pray?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If I close my eyes and fall asleep, just wake me up.
Don't close your eyes.
I have to close my eyes. I'm praying. If you see something come flying over, you'll know I just fell asleep. Sister Leanne's waking me up. My mother's old Bible is true, especially when it hits me right in the head. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for these wonderful people, our family, our friends, our partners. Lord, may the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and add no sorrow, May it bless every one of these people, everybody that's standing in faith for us right now. Bless them, we pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name. And then, Lord, this revelation that you have given us tonight to write a book. We don't have to publish it. Just write the book. And begin to get ourselves on the same page that you're on.
Yes.
On that same page. Knowing that you love to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. It's your great pleasure to bless and care for your children. Oh, Heavenly Father. If I could teach people one thing, it is become one with the Father. Don't do any more religious actions. Become one with the Father and then live a life of worship and in walking with God every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you have to be careful when you, the speaker, is sleepy, and the person that you ask to help you stay awake is also sleepy. You might hear us both snoring, and all y'all be like, can somebody wake up?
Phyllis would just jump in and start praying and say,
I missed that. What was it? What was
it? I said, if I fell asleep and Sister Leanne fell asleep and she's the one that's supposed to wake me up from falling asleep, you'd just jump in and wake us both up.
Oh, yeah, with my singing.
There you go.
Now, let's receive communion. Because I am starting to slow down a little bit. I know that might be hard to believe, but it has been a long day. Started last night at about 11:30?
Yeah. Yep. You've almost made it 24 hours again.
It's all right. We got a lot of good work done.
Yeah.
And I love being here, program with you guys. And I just want to see all of us, every single one of us, fine-tune our faith. And so God can use us. If you don't know anything, God can't use you. I mean, he still will to a certain degree, but the more we fine-tune our faith, the more he can use us. And the word is the discerner, not the pastor, not the prophet. The word is the discerner. And sometimes God will give a word to the prophet or the pastor. But now you got to go to war when you get a word. And let me tell you, some of these words got a serious battle behind them to get them. Look at Joseph. 15 years he took off to go see his brothers. And 15 years later, he's finally, his word, is the dream is coming to pass. After he was sold as a slave and after he spent time in prison. In Jesus' name, I've come to preaching again, haven't I? Get the communion elements out. Right. I got mine. Do you have yours? Let me get this pulled up. Now, I know... You noticed last night we had communion at the beginning. And that's because back then we were having communion twice.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? To me, it was really great to see you.
It was awesome. I enjoyed it.
Every single day, every night, we would have communion twice. For the first night that God said have communion twice, I'm like, you want me to have communion twice? I've never taken communion twice in any day. What do you mean twice? But don't say those words out loud. You know, just think them. That way God can't hear them. Just in case you missed it, yes, God can hear them if you're saying them out loud. Or you're just thinking about them. Here we go. Oh, that's the prayer of salvation. All right, we got to read the verses, right? Yeah. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We'll do that in a minute. Same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. Wait, I forgot 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redeemer, you, until he comes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us. And this, how? That we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. He lives in us and is trying to get out of us. We'll let it cast out fear because there is no fear in God's perfect love. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. And hundreds of people who have prayed this prayer of salvation for the first time with us. Now, I want to know who all y'all are, but if I don't ever know, it'd be all right. Ready? Pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe
you
are
the only begotten Son of
God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. Now, did you hear last night? Take all your sin, like you're holding it in your hand, and then throw it into the sea of his forgetfulness and say, I give all my sin to you, and I receive all of your righteousness. Ready? I receive all of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am
now a new creation
in Christ
Jesus.
Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit
and
fire so that I live in
power, understand the word of God,
pray in my heavenly
language,
and live a successful
life as a
believer
every
day.
Surround
me
with
godly
people
who will help
me
know how to
walk
with
you
every
day.
In Jesus' name I
pray.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, I say to you, welcome to the body of Christ. Welcome. We're glad you're here. You just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. If you just let go of it and let God.
John Painter, we just love you and love you being part of us, even though we can't see you on YouTube. We know you're there.
God bless you, Brother John. Love you, man. Oh, my goodness. Just work. Now, where am I at?
Welcome to the family.
Oh, okay. Now, click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you can be connected every time we're together. My email address is right down there in the notes of this program. And shoot me an email. No, don't shoot me. Nothing. If you'd like to send an email, I would be glad. I'll be glad to send you one back. Ask me a question. Tell me your story. Give me a prayer request, whatever. And send a picture of you doing the program with us. We're going to make a board up here of our partner. We used to sing a lot at the beginning. Remember that? We used to do a lot of singing back then.
Yeah.
So here's what I always like to say. There's a lot of people like, what do I do now that I'm a Christian? I just prayed the prayer. Well, you just keep living your life like you've been living, but now include God in every part of it. When you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, put your hands on your heart and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me walk with you today. And you'll stop at noon at your lunch. And whether your lunch is noon or midnight, depending on what shift you're on, and say, Father, thank you for the food I'm about to eat. Thank you for your help and what I've been doing so far today. I love you. I walk with you. Oh! And then before you fall asleep at night, say, how did I do today? And then listen, because it won't be long. You'll begin to hear him down deep inside. In Jesus' name. You ready? Here we go. We've got to get going. Ready? Pray this with me.
Jesus,
as
you
instructed
your
disciples,
I receive
these
elements
today.
This bread,
representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in
remembrance of you.
And all you did for me.
And all you did to me. It's so me.
Jesus,
you were
wounded
for my transgression.
You were bruised
for
my
iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace
is
on
you,
Lord.
And
by
your
stripes
I
am
healed.
In my spirit,
in my
soul,
and
in my
body,
in my mind,
in
my will,
and
in
my
emotion.
There
is nothing
missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed
from
my
life
now.
Every joint
supplying
in my
body
from your broken body,
Jesus,
in the body
of Christ,
in
my
community,
and
around the
world,
wherever you send
me
or
this
prayer, I receive the bread,
your
body
broken
now,
in
Jesus'
name.
Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for enduring the cross, despising the shame, and you did it all for us. We glorify your name. Here we go. Let's lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this prayer. All of these words, they come right out of verses of scripture in the Bible about the blood of Jesus.
Now
I bless this fruit of the
vine
in obedience
to
your
word,
in remembrance
of your
blood shed
to
provide redemption's
price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus,
I have been redeemed.
By
your
blood,
Jesus, I have reconciliation with
God, my Father.
By your blood, Jesus,
every
sin
has
been placed in
remission
in my
life.
I am a new creation,
recreated
in Christ
Jesus.
Old things have
passed
away,
and now all things are made
new. By
the
blood of
Jesus,
I come boldly to the throne room of grace,
where
I find
mercy,
grace, and
help
for
my
assignment,
my
dominion
mandate
on this earth.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
and
by
the
word
of
my testimony,
the
accuser
of
the
brethren
is cast
down
forever, and
there
is
no
condemnation
in
my
life.
By
your
blood, Jesus,
every
plague
must pass
over
and
cannot
be
on me
or
my
family.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
my conscience
is
purged.
My
robes
are
made white,
and I
will
always
be
the
glorious
church
without
spot,
wrinkle,
or
any
other
blemish
when
you
come
for
me. I receive
the
fruit
of
the
vine
now in
Jesus'
mighty
name.
Amen. Let's receive this together.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Ready?
We got to sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
precious is the flow, that makes me white as snow. No other crown I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you all so much for being with us. Our pastor just fell asleep sitting at his desk, I think. Tracy, we will be here tomorrow at 11 o'clock Central.
Yeah.
12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Well, we might not be right here, but we are live at that time.
We are live at that time.
And we want you to be there with us. So, Phyllis, you got verses?
Oh, yes. You want me to read Revelation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to the God, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. And verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, truly I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Even so, come,
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen.
And amen. And amen. Job 33, why do you contend with him? He does not give an accounting of any of his words. God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he calls, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn, man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. God loves to restore the years. And I just got to be done. All right. That's it. I think it's a great program. Share it with lots of people. It'll help them find out who they are in Jesus. And like we say often, every time we come, thank you for being our partners and our friends. We truly appreciate you guys.
And wasn't it awesome to have Pastor home with us tonight, teaching?
Amen.
Yay,
awesome for me.
That.
You know I'm about falling asleep.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you soon. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Good night. Good night. God bless you.
Love you, Phyllis.
Love you guys.